World's in a mess. A lot of things going on. This is Fritz Bergen, bloodandfaith.com. It's the 11th of April, 2022. I never thought I'd see this with regard to Russia and Ukraine. I'm surprised. I shouldn't be, because I've been musing on the possibility of a war between Russia and the United States for many years now. So this shouldn't surprise me, but nevertheless it does. What could have been a simple, well, nothing's ever simple, a war between Russia and Ukraine is now expanded to a war between Russia and the West. Meaning Sweden and Finland, two neutral nations, historically neutral nations, neutral at least before World War II, at least for Sweden, not for Finland, but for Sweden, the country of my ancestors. Czech Republic delivered surface-to-air missiles to the Ukraine, and apparently, from what I'm reading in the press, the Russians immediately destroyed them with a missile. And of course, they have been promised to be backfilled by the United States with Patriot missiles. NATO, Jens Stoltenberg, said they're considering to fast-track the applications of Sweden and Finland into NATO, perhaps this summer. The war rhetoric in the United States has only ratcheted up, and it seems to be having an effect. I was walking down the street here yesterday, and there's a Ukrainian flag. There's a Ukrainian flag flying from a restaurant, an outdoor sidewalk restaurant. Support Ukraine, it says. Support Ukraine. Well, maybe those are Ukrainians own the restaurant. I don't know. How about support the United States? What about supporting the United States? How about pursuing our own interests instead of the interests of these other countries? Just a thought. I don't know. I think we're on a dangerous track. I don't know why I should be surprised. I've been talking about this for a year. I've been talking about a war between Russia and the United States for years. And now it gets closer and closer and I'm surprised. Why am I so surprised? Why am I so surprised? I was able to catch a snippet of an interview between John Mearsheimer, and some other talking heads, some other academics. And what he said makes sense to me. It's the same thing I wrote to the powers that be a while back, a couple years ago, giving him my take on the historical situation that Russia finds itself in vis-a-vis the West. And this is a historical situation that goes back into the 1700s when the Russians took Crimea from the Ottomans, from the Muslims, when it was used as a slave base to enslave whatever you wanted to call them then, Ukrainians and Russians. And the Russian leader, forgive me if I'm wrong in this, I want to say Catherine the Great said no more. And she invaded, kicked out the Ottomans, populated Crimea with Russians, ethnic Russians. And it's been Russians ever since to the extent that Russians can keep it. There's a Crimean War. Don't ask me for the dates. 1850s. And where Russia's fighting the West over Crimea. Wow, how come nothing's changed there? You got World War I, where you've got the American soldiers occupying portions of Russia that Americans don't know about. You've got World War II, where you've got invasion from the West. And so Russia's always perceived their threats coming from not only the South, but also from the West, historic invasions. And I'm not saying this as a Russian patriot or a supporter of Putin, because I'm neither. I'm an American patriot. I love my country. And we have a system in the United States where that's inconceivable. It's inconceivable that Russia should be protecting its interests. We ought to know better, especially considering the Monroe Doctrine, where we've told the European powers, can't get involved in the Western Hemisphere. That's for us. If there's sorting out that needs to be done, we'll be doing the sorting out. You all stay away, and we'll do the sorting out. It shouldn't be any surprise that Russia feels the same way in her own front yard. Not even her backyard, it's her front yard. Nevertheless, there we are. Mearsheimer, in his interview, he had a lot to say about the expansive and the offensive nature of NATO as opposed to a defensive alliance. He said there was nothing defensive about NATO being involved in the Middle East Serbia or these other places. There's nothing defensive about moving the borders of NATO east either. So where does this end up? Well, we know where it ends up. We know exactly where it ends up. I'd encourage you to look at Mearsheimer's video. I'll try to put it in a clip here. It's not even where it's ended up. It's where it is already. There's a war going on. There's a war in Europe. All the great powers are involved in one way or the other. It's escalated faster than I expected. And no side is backing down, and no side seems to have any ability to back down. That's the scary part about it. That's where you get to these strategic miscalculations. No side appears to have the willingness or the ability to back down. If the United States backs down, if Ukraine backs down, Russia wins, and they find that to be unpalatable, unacceptable. Russia can't back down because if they do, what do you think is going to happen with Ukraine? It's going to become a part of NATO. And they've said that's a red line. We won't allow that to be crossed. So that's what's going on there. Not to mention the collapse of the dollar. Our economics and our politics is in a shambles. What's the next step? What happens next? I don't know. It's everything we've talked about, everything that I've talked about, everything people have been warning you about for years now. To give it a little theological spin, I have to go back to Daniel chapter 7 and talk about the beast. Let's talk about the beasts of Daniel chapter 7. All right, there's four beasts that come up to the earth. And the last one's different than all the other beasts. And it's vicious, it's violent, it's jealous of power. It cannot abide by the fact that it has any competition. And whether it's right or whether it's wrong, you know, you judge. You be the judge and you decide. But it's insatiable in its quest for power, and it can brook no competition or anybody standing in its presence. And even the fourth beast in the book of Daniel, said it went after all the other beasts. It went after all the other competitors of power. So in a way, what I'm saying is, if you look at the international order and you look at the international system, there's two things you need to look at. One is Babel. There's the evil intent and historical impetus to rebuild Babel. If you look back and you read the story of Babel, Genesis chapter 11, you'll see that the scriptures say they left off building Babel. Babel wasn't destroyed and they didn't give up. They left off at it. They were forced to do something different for a while. And it's always been the project of rebellious mankind to rebuild Babel, whether it's under this beast or this empire or that empire. And the story of the history of the world is really found in Daniel. You've got the statue with a head of gold, and it ends up with the legs and the feet and the toes of iron mixed with clay. And the comment there is, this doesn't work. You can't mix iron and clay. You're mixing the seeds of men together. It doesn't work. They don't like it. And it's an unnatural fit. Man thinks he's smarter than God. God says, I don't think you are. And during that time, the rock carved without hands comes and smashes that statue and fills the whole earth. What's that? It's the kingdom of Jesus Christ. It's the kingdom of God. It's the kingdom of Jesus Christ. I'd encourage Christians to think theologically about international relations. This is the theological approach. You look at the statue of Nebuchadnezzar, and you look at the beasts, all the beasts in the Bible, especially in Daniel. These are international systems that are yearning for power and jealous of power. And look at the beast starting in the Revelation chapter 13, there's a great beast arises from the sea, rises from the nations of mankind. The sea, it represents the nations of mankind, the peoples, the nations, the languages, and the tongues. The beast arises from them, and it's insatiable, and it wants to rule the world. Just like Babel. It goes right back to Babel. It's not a good thing. The beast is evil. The any intent, any yearning and impulse to build a global empire, which we see right now, one world government, World Economic Forum, new order of being. What does it say right on our money? You know, our money's not new. This isn't anything new. This is not new from the 2020 election. It's not new from the 2020 election. A new order of being, a new order in the world. It's got the pyramid, the all-seeing eye on top. This isn't new. And a yearning to crush all the other competition and see us all come together as one. You've got various talking heads that represent this impulse, but the impulse goes back to Babel. It's reflected in the power of the beasts and the struggle of one beast to conquer and subsume the other beasts. And we're looking at that. Yet nevertheless, the beast will be destroyed and the statue will be destroyed, will be replaced by the kingdom of God. Where does that put you and I as Christians, as believers in our King? Our job is not to worship the beast. Our job is not to worship it at the one world system. Our job is to resist Babel and to resist the beast and to build the kingdom of God, Christian nations. And it doesn't matter how strong they think they are. At the end of the day, the kingdom of the monarch, Jesus Christ, will hold sway. And he will do as he will do. And he will rule the nations of the earth with a rod of iron. He'll rule the nations of the earth with a rod of iron. And the nation of the kingdom, which will not serve him, will be destroyed. That's just the way it is. So if you want to know theologically how to look at international relations or diplomacy, that's a great place to start. Look at Babel and look at the beasts. The purpose of the nations, of dividing up the nations, is to see which nation would serve Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 17, verses, I think it's 24, 25, 26. From one, he made all the nations of the earth. He gave them the different times and the different boundaries to see who would seek God, to see which nations would serve the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the purpose of the nations. Just like individuals. You got all these individuals out there, millions and billions of us. Who's going to serve Jesus Christ? Who will serve Jesus Christ? Who will put their faith in Jesus Christ? And those that do last into eternity. Not any different with the nations. Which nations will serve Jesus Christ? It's an offer out to you. I don't care what nation you are. Mexico or Thailand, whatever. You're going to serve Jesus Christ? Or will you be a nation that's destroyed? If you wanted to understand theologically, this international struggle, the international order. Step back from the particulars, you know, the political figures. It doesn't interest me so much on who has their marbles straight in their own head. What interests me is the theological underpinnings for the struggle out there. A struggle to establish a world empire. A struggle for a beast to utterly crush and destroy any competition. And the necessity for Christians to say, no, we're going to go our separate way. We're going to have Christian nations because the beast will not allow Christian nations. Babel will not allow Christian nations. They're antichrist organizations. They're antichrist movements, antichrist spirits, antichrist demonic powers or strongholds, if you will. How do we defeat them? Same way. You got to turn on the light. By the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony, and not loving our lives even unto death. I think they're worried. I think they're shaken. And I think they see, I think they perceive that they're within victory. I think they sense they can grasp victory now if they move quickly. And so they are. And so all their chips are in. They're not making any more excuses. They've stopped trying to pretend and hide. They want a new world order. Fundamental change, as Obama used to say. and they want to eliminate the vestiges of Christian Europe from the planet. That's clear. That's clear. That's why there's a mass invasion of all the places that were the sons and daughters of Christendom by largely non-Christian peoples.